the Transportation Security Administration's Large Aircraft Security Program. Coming soon to an airport near you, I'm Paul Platt, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. Last week, the Transportation Security Administration proposed the Large Aircraft Security Program. We've known this has been coming for a while. TSA wants to get involved with planes as small as 12,500 pounds and hundreds or maybe thousands of additional small airports that right now are below the radar. Andy Sabula is the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association's Executive VP of Government Affairs and is going to be leading the effort to find out what AOPA members think about this proposal and what we do about it if we don't like it. Andy, thanks for taking some time out to join us today. Tell us about the survey you've taken of members so far.
Well, one of the things that we knew is as the TSA was approaching their deadline to propose this new initiative on general aviation, we knew we needed to find out where the members were. So what we did is about 6 weeks ago, we initiated a study that we completed just about a week before the TSA came out with a proposal, where we went out to a random sampling of AOPA members and asked them a series of questions about what they feel is appropriate, inappropriate, how inappropriate if it's inappropriate, or how appropriate if they agree with it, about various aspects of what we knew the TSA would be proposing.
I have to say that this proposal, first of all, how do you even read the whole thing carefully? I mean, the thing is large enough that if you needed to change your oil, it could hold up your car. Have you been able to actually get through the entire 200 and whatever pages and digest this?
All I can tell you right now is that we're slogging through it, and pretty much like you always have to do with any regulatory initiative, you know, you'll read it. You have to typically get past your disbelief, your surprise, your questioning the person's, you know, why, what they were thinking when they wrote it. So once you get past that, then you start thinking through, all right, what are all the implications of this actually being put into place? The unintended consequences, which typically are the things that are the real issues that you come to on a proposal like this. So it just takes a little bit of time. What we had wanted to do with the survey, though, is to get a good top-level sense of how did the AOPA member feel about an overall security requirement for general aviation operations and aircraft that are 12,500 pounds and above. So that's basically your light corporate jets, not very light jets, but light corporate jets like a Citation III, for example. And more than 75% of our members said that they were opposed to this kind of initiative. And then we went in and asked them about several of the key components that we knew were going to be in the proposal.
All right. Now, this thing looks on the surface to me like a solution looking for a problem. And from the time it was brought up, I had to ask myself, you know, with all the small automobiles involved in terrorist attacks, why are they going after a segment of the transportation industry that has never been used for this? Is there any sense that TSA believes that maybe terrorists are already using planes to transport materials around and it's not just focused on the attacks?
Well, from what we have been hearing from TSA and from Secretary Chertoff himself, they have had a concern about larger general aviation aircraft. Now, having a concern and looking at those aircraft is not the same thing as having a defined threat. A threat is, of course, going to be someone's stated intent to actually use the aircraft in some way. So they didn't have that. They haven't had that. Every time we've questioned them about it, they've been unable to point out anything. And, of course, our response is, well, if you don't have a threat and all you want to do is decrease the vulnerability, then why don't we come up with some steps to help you do that? But it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to develop a whole regulatory framework. Obviously, the TSA did not want to do that. They wanted to go down the path and develop the regulatory proposal, which is what we saw released last week.
Well, now, one of the arguments I've heard about this thing against this thing is that it puts us on a slippery slope that's a pretty short slope. Now, we talk about aircraft over 12,500 pounds, and I assume the premise is because they have the capacity and the speed and the range to be significant players in this whole mess. But we're going to be getting into an era where a lot of aircraft at 6,000 pounds and under, these very light jets, have some significant capabilities. Is this likely to result in every general aviation aircraft, regardless of size, coming under their purview?
Well, I can tell you something, that's exactly what the majority of AOPA members are concerned with. As a matter of fact, in the survey, about 80% or more were saying that their concern was that this is going to expand to all of general aviation, and it won't just be limited to the larger aircraft. So that is what you're saying is a concern that's reflected in pilots across the country.
What is the biggest aspect of this in terms of its impact on general aviation? Is it the watch list that you have to check passengers against, or are there other security measures involving, at this point, biz jets mainly, that are onerous?
Well, one of the things that we did is we asked members to give us a sense as to what would be the top issues for them. Vetting of passengers was at the top of the list. There was a definite concern about that as a major intrusion into the privacy of anyone that's flying, that's owning and operating general aviation aircraft. And in addition to that, there were also a great deal of concern, angst about the idea that TSA is now going to be mandating how you secure the aircraft. And those were some of the top two concerns. It was interesting because one of the concerns, the members didn't like any of these, okay? So the ranking from worst to least doesn't mean that they're supportive of it, but surprisingly the one that fell towards the bottom of the concern list was that the backgrounds of these aircraft, of the pilots, had to be looked at. That was the one that made it towards the bottom of the list. Again, doesn't mean that they liked it. It's just that in ranking it, it was the passenger first and then being mandated in how you actually have to go about securing the aircraft and in ensuring that it's safe.
Well, I have to tell you, I have a problem with the idea of flight crew member criminal history record checks. I think that there is... You know, we've gotten to the point where we're doing criminal background checks on people who are, you know, have represented no threat to the country at this point. I feel kind of badly that our freedom to just move around is being limited in this way. I think a bigger one, though, and a potential major business expense for some people is going to be this idea that every 2 years there's going to be some kind of third-party audit of each aircraft operator. How would that work under the proposal?
Well, I'm certainly no expert in how TSA intends to do that, but I have to tell you that I was pretty shocked that TSA would be outsourcing their oversight of this new regulated party. That's normally not the way that the FAA functions, and from what I understand of TSA, this isn't the way they function in other areas. We're going to be having a meeting with the general aviation community with TSA tomorrow, and this is certainly one of the topics that we need to better understand in what is TSA thinking, how would something like this work, and how do they have people that don't end up being their own little law enforcement agencies as these contractors to the TSA. Dealing with a federal agency can be bad enough, but dealing with now someone who's deputized, what's that going to mean for us?
I don't know. I see a lot of problems here, and I hope that something comes up during the NPRM that makes them pause and take a deep breath on this. But the TSA and the Department of Homeland Security don't seem to answer to anybody.
Well, they answer to Congress. And what we're going to be doing is making sure that they know that Congress is listening and watching this. In addition to that, we're obviously going to be encouraging the AOPA membership to respond and let TSA know what they think of this proposal, because it is that. It is just a proposal. It's not a final rule. So we have the time to work through the regulatory process to get comments in. Now, they've only given us 60 days from the day it actually appears in the Federal Register. And I think that we're going to need more time than that, but it's going to be very important for people to express their sentiments to the TSA about this proposal. I think it's also probably in this case helpful that we have a new administration, whoever that will be, I don't know, but a new administration that is going to have to come in and look at all the rule makings that are underway, such as this one. And then that'll give us another opportunity to have more additional thought put into this, and hopefully be working towards either scrapping this thing or at a minimum maybe just having it be a couple of pieces that can be acceptable to the general aviation community.
Andy, we've talked so far a lot about planes. I want to talk a little bit about airports when we come back from the break. My guest is Andy Cibula, who is the Vice President of Government Affairs for the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News. We'll be back in a moment.
Okay. Right up front, let me say that Garmin does not give tax advice. We have lawyers who cringe at the very thought of suggesting there might be tax advantages to buying a new Garmin avionics system this year.
Did he say tax advantages?
Could that be construed as tax advice, either express or implied?
Yeah, like I said, lawyers. So I guess I won't be telling you that this year Congress is offering special bonus depreciation up to 50% in year one for qualified business equipment placed in service during 2008. Business equipment like, say, a new Garmin avionics stack. But you didn't hear that from me, right?
What did he just say?
Okay, better check with your tax consultant for guidance and your Garmin dealer for the installation. Garmin. Follow the leader.
See your tax advisor for guidance.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Plack. My guest is Andy Cibula, Executive VP of Government Affairs for the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. We're talking about the large aircraft security program proposed by the Transportation Security Administration. There's going to be a notice of proposed rulemaking and a 60-day comment period offered here. And AOPA has been surveying members to find out how we feel about this. All right, Andy, we've talked up to this point about pilots and airplanes. The other side of this thing is airports. And to me, this is the place where, first of all, it looks like a huge budget drain. Second of all, this is going to really change life around small airports. The TSA is talking about adding thousands, potentially, of small airports to, frankly, a system that has not worked very well where it's been in place so far. Is there any way that the airport watch program that you guys have operated or any other voluntary measures can convince them that we're doing enough?
Yeah, and I think that, Paul, is going to be our effort, is to say that Airport Watch goes a long way towards responding to the notion of suspicious activity at an airport. But in addition to that, there are also guidelines out there that currently exist that airports can follow. And there's also this notion that if, in fact, you have a security regime that is focused on the aircraft, that there are ways that you could secure that aircraft, so to speak, at the times when it matters, rather than trying to impose access controls and new fencing and really a huge investment in infrastructure that, quite frankly, we need to invest in the safety side of the airport and the operational efficiency side of the airport, not spending it on things that really will have very little impact but could cost billions of dollars.
Well, and this to me is where the TSA seems to kind of go off into the weeds. I think that, and government in general, and I don't want to get political here, but we tend to attack problems that are, I will say conspicuous or even imagined problems that are conspicuous. We have senators like Chuck Schumer that every time an airplane, has an incident, says, look, this could have been a terrorist. And we don't go after some of the more easily fixed things that we could throw the money at. But let me ask about, from the standpoint of individual members and individual pilots, are there things that we're doing that are aggravating this problem, and are there things we could be doing more of to ease the minds of people in the security business?
Well, you know, it's really interesting you say that. Probably the thing that bothers the security community more than anything is when pilots fly into a temporary flight restriction. So knowing where those are and either avoiding them or making sure that you're in compliance with the requirements associated with them is absolutely critical, whether it's the Washington, D.C. ATIS or whether it's a presidential pop-up TFR around the country. That's first and foremost what pilots can do. Secondly, is being alert for and reporting suspicious activity, participating in the Airport Watch program, and basically making sure that you're securing your aircraft and that you're participating in whatever security procedures the airports have. But there has not been an outcry that we hear from the security establishment in Washington, D.C., saying these are major issues that we see with general aviation, that if pilots would just do this, that it would fix that concern. We really don't have any of those that come up to us on a regular basis.
Andy, not all the general aviation advocacy groups have taken a strong stand against this whole idea. Some are talking about, you know, working with the TSA to get a workable system. Do we want to fight this thing to try to knock it down completely or help shape it?
Well, I can tell you that AOPA over a year ago, when this first was talked about, was expressing concerns to TSA. We've expressed it to the Office of Management and Budget. We've expressed it to the White House. So our concerns have not been kept back from anyone that's involved in the policymaking. So at a minimum, while they may not like our position, they certainly can't be surprised by it. But what's really going to be critical is that the agency hears from a large number of pilots, because ultimately, you know, we're an organization that represents individuals, and those individuals have an opportunity in this process to make their voice heard. And so what we'll be doing is, over the course of the next couple of weeks, we'll continue digesting this, we'll package it, and then we'll be explaining it to the membership and to the broader aviation community, so that then they can respond to TSA, because I think that's what's going to lead us to success, and success being, again, as I'd mentioned before, either that the whole thing is scrapped and other alternatives are looked at, or at a minimum, any outcome of a regulation would be far, far different and something that would be amenable to the general aviation community.
Well, I have to say that among the more optimistic things I see in this is that Chertoff seems to be a reasonable guy.
He's not going to be here much longer. He'll be leaving at the end of January, so we'll be dealing with a new head of the Department of Homeland Security. And our hope is that whoever that person is that they're reasonable and that they understand the balance, the very careful balance that you have to have in responding to, in this case, vulnerabilities, not even threats, but vulnerabilities that are identified, and yet not totally changing the very nature of the general aviation community. And that's really what is at the heart of our concern and the member concern about this proposal.
Well, I think in the meantime, if there's anything we can do as individuals to keep somebody from taking our King Air out for a drunk joyride into a soybean field, it probably wouldn't hurt. I mean, we should be doing the things that we can that are easy, cheap, and non-intrusive to keep our own aircraft safe.
Crucial to lock up the general aviation aircraft and to look out and report suspicious activity. Can't argue with you at all. That's very, very important.
Well, Andy, we always appreciate your insights, and I'm sure we'll be checking back with you on this issue again. And thanks for your work on behalf of AOPA.
You're welcome. Look forward to it.
My guest has been Andy Cibula, who is the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association's Executive VP of Government Affairs. And you've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.